I'm Kate Remington. This is kind of a different Music Respawn. I was lucky enough to be at the Music and Gaming Festival that just wrapped up this past weekend, January 4th through the 8th. It was such a fun time, rubbing elbows with so many talented musicians and composers and fans. One of the most powerful experiences for the whole festival was an amazing performance by the Videri String Quartet, oboist Kristen Negus, singer Laura Entravia, percussionist Doug Perry, and composer Austin Wintery, who also took a turn at the piano. And what made this so unique was that while all these amazing musicians were performing, artist Angela Bermudez, in a stunning costume from Journey, created a painting inspired by the music that was being performed. Hundreds of us just sat enraptured on the floor and watched in awe as Angela quickly painted a work of art inspired by Austin's music from Assassin's Creed Syndicate, from Journey, and a brand new suite from his most recent score, Abzu. So I talked with some of the artists involved, including Angela and Austin after the performance, and with David Peacock, who's made many of the arrangements that the Videris play. And it's not something you'd normally think to do, so I asked him how he got his start.
Well, I met Rosie when we both played viola together back in Boston. We were both at music schools. So I went to Berkeley. She was at Boston Conservatory. So we met then, and then when she started forming Videri, I reached out and I said, hey, if you're looking for any help with the arranging side of it, I'd love to be a part of it. And that's been going on since about 2012.
When I talked with her, she mentioned that one of the real challenges that you and the other arrangers have is creating the transitions from one theme to another. So what in particular is kind of tricky about that?
It's always about trying to make it seem smooth and natural. So if you're trying to connect multiple pieces together, seeming like they actually flow in a way and that they're not just being cut and pasted. So I think sometimes you just have to think about that early on to the approach, and you kind of know when you've got it because it doesn't feel forced anymore. And you know, if you've listened to the song so many times at that point, you kind of can bend the melody a little bit to fit together properly, I think.
Well, one of the things that I think is so interesting about the arrangements that you do is that they're not necessarily for orchestral pieces. I mean, one of the really interesting ones so far was for RWBY, and that was like a real badass sort of electric guitar thing. And so how did you make that transition to the string quartet?
That project, Ruby, was really fun because these pieces were really electronic and guitar driven. And it was, for me, I stripped away everything that I could and sort of brought it back down to what I considered the foundations of the piece, and then rebuilt it in a way that was equally entertaining for a string quartet to play. So, you know, the fun stuff that guitarists get to shred on, I kind of translated that in a way and then gave them things that string quartets would like to play. So that was a really fun one, especially.
Well, it must be fun because they're all so incredibly talented and they can play anything you throw at them, which is nice. So it's not like, you know, dumbing down the arrangements at all.
A little bit. No, absolutely. I've thrown them pretty much everything I can think of, and very little pushback is ever given, if anything. And it's usually just like, that's not physically possible. And I'm like, okay, sure, fine, we'll change it. But yeah, they're really great.
Well, what other ensembles have you been working with to make arrangements?
Well, I've worked with a pianist in Boston named Augustine, and I've worked with the Materia Collective group of musicians, which are, it's a lot of remote work, but, you know, everyone's got their own way of approaching it, and we essentially come together, and I can create an arrangement and send off all of these different musical parts to musicians in Venice, in California, and all around the world, and they'll just record it, and then I can put it together, and we have a full piece again. So that's a great way to be able to meet new musicians and people that I might not otherwise have been able to get to work with without the internet.
Oh yeah, I know, this is the international aspect of gaming and the community that provides not just, you know, the music originally with the composers, but all of this sort of like amazing culture doing remixes and stuff is incredible.
Yeah, and there's a lot of passion for it. I think everyone's just really excited to be able to work with other like-minded people that are excited about the music behind some of their favorite games, and to be able to maybe reinterpret it in their own way, in a way that they want to express their own creativity, and just be able to share that with other musicians is really exciting.
Yeah, and the neat thing is too, you've got this like endless stream of material because of all of these great games that are coming out. So
yeah, I mean, it's a hard balance to go between new material and stuff that you consider your classics, and you're overwhelmed with material to work with, which is not a bad problem to have at all. I love it.
Just over a year ago, artist Angela Bermudez speed-painted a portrait of Darth Vader in about a half an hour that caught Austin's attention. The other thing that caught his attention was her cosplay of the solitary traveler in Journey. Angela created a stunningly beautiful costume and traveled to Egypt to be photographed against the sand dunes. She told me that her skill as a costume designer came from her childhood when her mother taught her how to make costumes for her dolls. Austin reached out to her with a plan to have Angela create a work on stage while his music was being performed. It was a big risk for both of them, but the result is a stunning painting that we all watched being created just from Angela's imagination. And after the performance, I talked with her about that experience, and she told me how grateful she is to Austin for his support.
His work, starting from that, is amazing. It's really inspiring. And the way he talked to me about my work and about what I'm able to do, even if I don't know what I'm going to do, is something that I will always keep in my heart. So, yeah, I can't find the words to say you how thankful I am with him.
He is so appreciative, I think, of other people's work, too. I really felt that from him. And I think for all of us who do stuff, it's just nice to get encouragement and validation and realize that what you do is important to somebody.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know, I hope this is the beginning of something big. But I think this is really, really big. I mean, I'm used to make that stuff, but not that huge, just, you know, in a bar or just chill out, you know, with the painting and stuff. I'm still too afraid to do it, to feel all those eyes seeing, watching what I'm doing, but it feels great that they actually can feel what I'm feeling, and I don't know, it's amazing. I like it. This thing was something that I will never forget ever.
Finally, I had a chance to catch up with Austin after the performance for his thoughts on how the concert went. We started by talking about how music from games takes on a whole new life when other musicians make their own arrangements and remixes.
That's actually a subject that I really love, and I tried to kind of point out today with these quartet arrangements, my favorite thing in the world is when remixers, arrangers, cover artists take it and make it so much their own thing that it's really, like you, the way you phrased it just now, it's still yours, but then they do their thing with it. I actually love when it's not even mine anymore. It's just they've made their own thing. They've so completely thrown caution to the wind with the source material and made something of their own that even though it's built on this skeleton or this DNA of what I originally did, it's their own thing. And, you know, people that go farthest from the source material end up being the ones who make my favorite kinds of covers. And one of my favorite examples of that is my friend Peter Hollins, who does these a cappella vocal covers of like orchestral music, and or Smooth McGroove, same thing. He's here at MAGFest, where, you know, these things were not remotely a cappella, and he's doing, you know, 10 and 12 voice harmonies on you know, syllables and vowels and things like that. It's just completely abandoning the original, and I think that's amazing. And so, yeah, I'm a fan. I love when people email me saying, "Can I get a hold of some of the sheet music to do my own thing?" I always say, you know, sure, but you know, take risks, do your own thing. I don't, you know, the original version already exists. Don't do something that's going to naturally invite comparison to it, and do, you know, do something else. Cause, and I've hired, I mean, like Kristen Nagus on the stage today, is the reason why is because she did that herself. She did oboe-based covers of her, of my stuff from Monaco and Journey, and then also this game that nobody knows about called Horn. And she did amazing stuff, and she recorded well and was really good at creating the backing tracks. And I was blown away. I was, you're my oboist now. I mean, it's just done. So
yeah, it was really a thrill to see her on stage with the Videris, and that arrangement. I'm not sure if that was one of David Peacock's arrangements or who did it for them, but they kept the essentials, and yet it was like a completely different piece.
Yeah, one of the arrangements was David, and the other arrangement was actually Laura and Travia. And so the last one was Laura. And so, yeah, I love it. I mean, they're just crazy talented people. I feel so lucky to have them in my life because they're very inspiring. Yeah.
The whole program was just so remarkable to watch Angela create this work out of nothing. I'm just out of her own head while the music was playing. And you had said that you really like to take risks with performances like this.
Yeah, I like to put myself in compromising positions. And, to me, nothing will probably ever feel quite as extreme in that way as doing Journey Live. And you know, when they said, okay, this was great, we want to have you back to MAGFest, I thought, well, that experience was so crazy, and the turnout was so good, and it came off so well, that I want to do something that in no way invites comparison to that, much like the remix idea. And just as its own animal. And so I was trying to think of what to do. And I have an idea, and we're going to do it next year. It's all I'm going to say. Radically, radically different from this. And it's actually a thing we've wanted to do every year the last several years. And it just hasn't happened quite yet because it takes so much work to put it together. But so in this case, somewhere in the intervening year from last year's MAGFest to this one is when I discovered her on Twitter because she shot these Journey cosplay photos in Egypt on sand dunes that were the most remarkable and beautiful things I felt like I'd ever seen. And so I just said, I want to be friends with this person. I just need them in my life. I'm like a people collector. And when I find someone compelling, I just can't let go. And then, of course, immediately once it's just they're in my life and I'm thrilled, it becomes, okay, how do we work together? And the more interdisciplinary it is, the better. Finding musicians to collaborate with is a joy I'll never stop with. But finding other artists, whether it's, you know, a costume designer or an interesting lighting designer or a game designer, you know, what can we do that's unusual? And a lot of irons in the fire there, but this came about of just, okay, you know, how do we do something really crazy? And she had this video of doing a speed paint, and I thought, well, what if we did that live, but the music was also live, and then it just kind of grew from there, and it culminates in the thing tomorrow where it's truly completely on the fly, and God knows how that's going to go.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you two together have such a synergy that I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Well, who knows? But I do, I can't promise anything amazing, but I do agree with the synergy part because I just adore her to death. I mean, she's so sweet. She's so genuine. And this whole time she keeps saying, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe this is real. And I'm like, it's because of you, though. That's the funny thing to me. I can't believe it either, but I can't believe it because I can't believe it that you, like, agreed to this because it's a big pain in the ass for her to, you know, pick up and fly out here. And I just was over the moon so consistently, so continuously, rather.
Yeah, and it's risky for her. I mean, she's done this before, but what she mentioned was
not like this,
not having what, like 4,000 or 5,000 people watching her do it.
It was hard to tell. It was a much better turnout than I was expecting. I thought, you know, Journey Live has a, you know, kind of marquee sex appeal, so I wasn't shocked I was really shocked that the numbers were that high, like 2,500 people, but. If, you know, 1,000, I was like, I remember thinking if a couple hundred come, if as many come as went to the Smash Brothers opera, I'll be stoked. Because that was amazing. I loved this thing last year. It was so funny. And I thought, if we get that kind of crowd, 400 or 500 people, I'll be overjoyed. And so when like 2,500 came, I was completely blown away. But in reflecting on it the last year, I thought, well, we were proposing something really novel. And like to the exactly right crowd, like to the kind of folks that are just here to enjoy games and music. And we were doing this crazy collision of the two, but now we're doing something totally apart from that to here today. So I thought, okay, once again, if 100 people come, I'll just tell them like, gather around. There's going to just make this little intimate jam. And when I like can't see the people in the back, I'm thinking, holy shit, apparently I'm just shocked. I'm still shocked. I mean, the show's only been over for like 20 minutes, so I'm still processing here. But yeah, I was blown away, the turnout.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
Engagement.
Absolutely. You could have dropped, well, a pin wouldn't have mattered because it's a carpeted floor, but it was so quiet where I was sitting.
Significantly quiet that even on a carpeted floor, a pin. No, honestly, I love that it's carpeted because now we're two for two on the let's sit and just chill. The idea next year is not a good one for sitting. That will be a rambunctious event.
So there it is, a snapshot of just one of the incredible experiences at MAGFest, and as Austin teased, there will be lots to look forward to next year. Stop by the Music Respawn page at wshu.org to see Angela's finished painting and watch a video of the concert.